Being stuck in the occult is like being stuck in the mud. You may need some help to get free, help that God provides. There is a way out of the bondage of satanic influence, a bondage that's trapping all too many Christians. Today, renouncing the occult's doctrines of demons and turning once again to the only truth that sets us free. Please stay with us. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Our current series tells about seven secret snares that can trap the Christian. Today, Dr. Lutzer concludes his message on the last snare, occultism, not superstitions, but deceptions. He points to the way of escape for those who are trapped.
Now, I must hurriedly get to the most important point of the message, and that is, how do you get free from the occult? Some of you have gone into the occult, sometimes unknowingly, and just because it's unknowing, that does not mean that you might not be affected. Neil Anderson, in one of his books, tells the story of a missionary that went into a pagan Buddhist temple, took off his shoes in reverence, and that night spirits mocked him as he tried to sleep. When I was in Japan, I refused to go into those temples where tourists go. It's enough for me to see it from a distance. Because remember, if there is spirituality that is not based on the Bible or Christ, it is occultism. What do you do when you have those strongholds of the devil? Let me suggest very quickly. Number one, you have to be absolutely convinced of the power and the victory of Jesus. Let me share that verse of scripture I shared with a man who told me that he lived in the occult capital of the Midwest. Witches, covens, animal mutilations, all kinds of things happening. Revelation chapter 3, verse 9, Jesus is speaking, I will make those who are of the synagogue of Satan, who claim to be Jews, and they are not, but liars. Now listen, I will make them. I like the New American Standard here. It says, I will cause them. I will cause them to come and fall down at your feet and acknowledge that I've loved you. Oh, I love that verse. Here is Jesus who has ascended, and he says, I've opened a door for you that nobody can shut. And if I ever shut a door, nobody can open it. And I will cause those who are of the synagogue of Satan to acknowledge the truth. Are you convinced that when Jesus died and rose, that his triumph over the devil was complete? There is nothing left to be done except that the sentence still has to be commuted, but Satan is out on bail and he's enjoying his time, supposedly, though I don't think it's an enjoyment at all. And all of the work has already been done and the victory has been purchased. And now Jesus invites us to stand there and say, participate with me in the victory. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimonies. And like we often sing, the blood has never lost its power. Secondly, we have to repent. You have to repent of that involvement. Jesus said, if you are not with me, he said, you are against me. And what that repentance means is an acknowledgement. I have been into the following. Now, in counseling people who are in the occult, most of them have no idea all the things that they've been involved in. Until you read the list, they say, oh, yeah, I forgot I was, yeah, that's right. I remember, yeah, we did do some levitation, or yes, we were into Ouija boards, or yes, as a matter of fact, I did go to a fortune teller, or I'm into dream analysis, whatever. And they begin to realize that they've been misled. And so what you need to do is to confess that this is Satan's territory. These are the doorways into the occult, and you need to say, oh God, I am guilty of. What I've noticed in counseling people is that if you pray with them over a long period of time and you're not in a hurry, and you have periods of silence, God will often bring to mind things that they were into that they had forgotten about. Those must be confessed and forsaken and acknowledged as being occultic. Next, identify the lie that brought you into the trap. What was the lie? Was it a desire for knowledge? Knowledge that is hidden from us and that only God knows, and you wanted to get into this hidden knowledge? Was it power? Did you want to have some kind of power of a witch to zap somebody? What was it? Was it this great desire for health, and health was more important to you than whether or not it was done God's way? Is that what got you in? Confess it. Was it money? Whatever the mind can believe, the mind can achieve, which incidentally is nonsense. You know, the little engine that went up the hill that said, I think I can, I think I can, I think I can. It had a much better chance making it to the top of the hill by its optimism than if it were a pessimist, no doubt about it. But if when it got to the top of the hill, the tracks were washed out, it wouldn't matter how often it said, I think I can, I think I can, I think I can. It's not true that whatever the mind can believe, the mind can achieve. What's the lie that brought you into it? Let me give you another point, and that is, you must forgive those who have wronged you. You know, Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 11 and 12, he says, you must forgive the person, and there must be no bitterness, lest, he says, Satan deceive you, and we are not ignorant of his devices. You see, if we retain sins in our lives like bitterness and other kinds of avenues, it always gives Satan this right. Strictly speaking, it's not a right because he doesn't have the rights. But it always gives him this doorway to harass us and to keep bringing us down. Then, of course, there has to be submission. We're on point number 5 now. Submission to God. It says in the book of James, dearly beloved, submit yourselves to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you, but also the body of Christ. You know, there are some people who say, well, you know, I'm only accountable to God. Most people who say they're only accountable to God and they are not submissive to the leadership of the body of Christ are really taking their place with Satan, who fell because of pride. And so what we must do is, sometimes we need the body. Jesus said regarding some demons, some do not come out except by prayer and fasting. And you need the collective help of other people to bring you out from Satan's clutches. Finally, the armor of God. The armor of God. And as Pastor Worley pointed out to me one time, the armor of God is not just something that you put on every day and then you say, oh my goodness, I left a piece behind. I got dressed this morning and I left the shield of faith in the bedroom. No, it's a whole lifestyle. You put on that armor and you live that way with a breastplate of righteousness so that Satan's attacks can never get through, because the breastplate, the righteousness of Christ and your righteous life continues to ward off those attacks, and there can't be any, what shall we say, any ground that is given to him because of something that is in us. Remember what Jesus said. He said, the prince of this world comes, and he says, but in me he has found nothing. So there's nothing he can do to me. And we live a lifestyle of faith and in the Word, and we put on the helmet of salvation. All of that, of course, found in the 6th chapter of Ephesians. You know, when bull moose are in the wild, they fight to see who is going to be the leader of the herd. And once the battle is over, the conqueror is never challenged again. It's just assumed he's won, so it's over. That's what the devil likes to do. He likes us to fall into those snares, and we've talked about many of them in this series of messages, and we're talking about the occult today, but you can put all the others right here. He wants us to fall in and then say to us, see, there's no way that you can get out. I have won it. I have you under my authority, and you have to obey me. That is a lie. And Satan's got to be called on that as the liar and the author of lies. I like to tell the story of that painting where a man drew a chess game, and the devil and a young man are playing chess. And the agreement is that whoever wins becomes the leader of the other person. The loser becomes the servant. And the way the picture was painted is the devil just declared checkmate in 3 moves. And so the young man's face was painted pale. But Paul Morphy, who looked at that painting in a museum, stared at it, great chess player, looked at it this way, and this way, discovered something, that the painter had overlooked a move that the boy could make. It isn't checkmate. And I say to those of you today, harassed by Satan, there's a move that you can make. There's a move that you can make. Having triumphed over principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. And just as a serpent has been crushed into the dirt and you take your heel as you walk along and you've got really hard heels and the road is hard too and you grind him into the road that you're walking along, Satan has been ground into the dust and Christ is triumphant. Some of you have never received him as Savior. And what you need to do is to realize he's the only way to God. Now, tell me one New Age book that will tell you that, that apart from Jesus, you're lost forever. That's what this book tells us. But the doctrine of demons has a myriad ways of salvation. This book, the Bible, has only one. And though this world with devils filled should threaten to undo us, we will not fear, for God hath willed his truth to triumph through us. The prince of darkness grim, we tremble not for him. For lo, his rage we can endure, for lo, his doom is sure. One little word shall fell him. And that little word has six letters, C-H-R-I-S. Well, what a message of hope. It is true that one little word will fell him. This is Pastor Lutzer, and we've actually come now to the end of this message on deceptions of the occult, and of course the end of the entire series of Satan's snares. So as we come to the end, I want to encourage you to make sure that you walk in the victory that Jesus Christ purchased and the victory that Jesus Christ wants you to have. Come into God's presence and don't come alone. Bring your husband, bring a friend, pray together, and simply accept the fact that Jesus died for sinners. He's the only qualified Savior, and remember, he came to save us from our sins. So salvation means not only that my sin is forgiven, it also means that implanted within me are new desires, so that I do not have to follow the old paths. Today, you can walk on a new path by coming to Jesus Christ in sincerity, in honesty, and openness. I end with commending Jesus to you.
That was Dr. Erwin Lutzer concluding Occultism, Not Superstitions, But Deceptions, the last message in his series on Seven Secret Snares. We hope you now have a new appreciation of the pitfalls we believers must avoid. Running to Win comes to you from the Moody Church in Chicago. This series can be yours in the book Seven Snares of the Enemy by Dr. Lutzer. Your copy will be sent as our thank you when you give a gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw, all one word, .com. Or write to Running to Win at Box 11174, Chicago, Illinois, 60611. This is Dave McAllister. Join us for tomorrow's Running to Win.